It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on, have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an All-Star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDelulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. Today, our predictions for the upcoming season, Alex. Did you feel as bad as I did making these predictions?
So and so. They seem like some of those projections that in about, I don't know, a month could look absolutely different. Very wildly different. But, I mean, I don't hate them as much as you do, apparently.
I hate them. I didn't even worry about what record I was giving people. I literally just went through every game, gut instinct, boom, 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 boom. And I feel sick. I need to vomit.
You're not feeling at your best.
No, it's the rankings. The rankings make me sick.
Okay. It's the rankings more than anything.
The rankings make me sick.
Okay, so where do you want to start today?
I mean, the top of this has it in the AFC West. Do you want to start with the AFC West?
I guess so, sure. Go ahead and start with the AFC West.
I have the Chiefs winning their division at 13-4.
Okay.
I have the Broncos second in the division at 7-10.
Damn, that's a difference.
I have the Raiders third in the division at 7-10.
Okay.
And I have the Chargers dead last in the division at 7-10.
Ooh, 7-10s. A lot of 7-10s, huh?
7-10.
Seven and ten, baby.
You'll see some trends on the NFC side too, don't worry.
Okay. We are similar on a few things, is the division leader. That's about it. Okay, so division leader, you had the Chiefs at was it 14-3 or 13-4?
13-4.
Okay. I had them at 14-3. So, similar enough, I guess. We flip a game somewhere. My first loss for the Kansas City Chiefs came on week 13, if I'm not mistaken, versus the Raiders. So, in yours came, you were mentioning it before, it's opening day versus the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
Okay, so you are kind of feeling the Ravens here a bit this year, it seems like.
That and trends. So last year, the Chiefs lost to the Lions to start the season last year. And quite honestly, they never look at their best that week one after winning the Super Bowl. And I expect that trend to continue. Baltimore should be coming out way more hungry especially the way they got eliminated. They have something to prove. I honestly think if the Ravens don't at least make this a competitive game, I was going to say just beat them. But if they don't make this a close game, what are they doing?
I think it will be close. But by the way, did the Chiefs actually lost last season, or was it like, oh no, they actually lost, right?
Yeah, they lost to the Lions.
Okay. I was between like if they had lost or if it was a very competitive game and they won in the end. It was along those lines. Okay, got it. I think this season they will probably start the season a bit stronger. The offensive weapons, I mean, Rashee Rice, if he plays, if he doesn't fuck up anymore, which, big question mark, I guess. He should start with them and be with the team for quite a while now. So he will be more entrenched in the system. You won't see the same, like, mashup of wide receivers that you saw early last season.
Not to mention they added, Robbie Anderson? Not Robbie Anderson. What is his name? Hollywood Brown.
And Xavier Worthy from the draft.
And Xavier Worthy in the draft, yes.
So they added a few good pieces. So I think the team will start a bit better this year. It won't look as, like, all over the place as they looked last season. So expect a strong start. But we are not that far apart, I guess. Because, I mean, it's a one-game difference. Where we start to differ is at the number two slot. You had the Broncos at 7-10, right? Okay. I had the Raiders at 9-8 right now.
9-8.
I think they are a team. I mean, last season you saw once Antonio Pierce took over that team, the defense started playing pretty well. I mean, they looked like a very competent team. They looked like one of the best defenses in the league. And I expect that to continue this year. Max Crosby is still around. I expect Tyree Wilson to take a jump forward. Robert Spillane is still around. Making that defense what it was last season, I think it will continue. And I expect them to take a step on forward on offense as well.
I could see it, but my trepidation, my biggest trepidation, was how much faith do I have predicting a team quarterbacked by Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell to consistently win football games? And apparently you have a lot more faith in that than I do.
I mean, you know that I liked Aiden O'Connell quite a bit last season. So I'm hoping that he takes that jump, that next jump up.
I don't even think he's going to be the week one starter, dude.
I don't know about that. I'm kind of hopeful that
preseason will be telling, but I don't think it's like, oh yeah, obviously Aiden O'Connell. I don't think it's like that. I think there's going to be a competition in the preseason.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, I think that it is like a wide open competition. So I just
Aiden, I go back to the question is, so how exactly do you have confidence in a team that you don't even know who the week one starter is right now?
Because I have some sort of confidence on both guys. Not so much so on... Okay, faith. My bad.
That is 100% faith.
Faith, my bad.
Pray into the Holy Ghost, my friend.
And I do have them starting going too, by the way, at the start of the season. So, I mean, I'm not saying like they are going to be absolute world beaters every step of the way. I think they will have rough patches because this is a team that is, again, as you said, Aiden O'Connell is locked. It's not like the perfect picture of quarterback play, great quarterback play, I guess,
they also lost Josh Jacobs, too, which was their little key to winning. Was it just that they played good? It was partly they played good defense, but it was also that they ran the ball and Josh Jacobs had good enough games that the defense only had to get so many stops. You're not going to have that luxury this year. 7-10 might actually be too generous, but...
Have you checked Zamir's white Instagram picture, though?
Oh, my God.
Because, boy, that boy is ripped to the gills. I don't know, man. That looked like crazy ass. He looked like a crazy ass human being, like straight out of the gym, looked bulked as all hell. I mean, he looked strong. I'm not saying that he's going to be a great, like, all-around world beater of a running back. But I do think he can carry himself. Like, he played well when Jacobs missed time last season. Pierce is going to use one running back, mostly, to just carry the ball and play on. So I do expect Zamir White to be heavily involved, and I do expect the run game not to suffer, like, all that much, to be honest. So yeah, I think this team can have some sneaky potential. I think the QB woes could hurt at the start, but eventually they will get better. I think as the season progresses, they will see something on Aiden O'Connell. I really believe in the guy. He had a rough patch last season, but again, the offense was a complete mess from what McDaniels left them with. So now a changeup, but their new Pierce starting from the very start, I guess, this season, being his team, being his guys, his system all around, and a full like training camp of Aiden just going off against one guy, and Gardner Minshew, who is a seasoned vet in the game. I really think that he can take that next step up, and be an actual like solid NFL starter, and I think they will at least want to see that, just to rule out if they don't have something in this guy. Because if they have something in this guy, then you're sort of like getting away from the QB conversation in the draft. If he does really take that next step up, and it has to be sort of a big step, to be honest, from what he showed last season. But I think he can do it, and I think he will at least have a chance. He is not like the, how do you put it? He's not the 100% starter right now, sure. But I think around the 20th of August, I'm pretty certain that he's going to be named the starter. Like, I like the guy.
So what you're saying is, Alex, that you'd attend the Church of O'Connell on Sundays.
Yes.
Got it.
That is absolutely it.
Let's talk about another thing that may or may not need to end. Actually, let's talk about, does this need to happen? Brock Bowers, 1,000-yard season as a tight end, as a rookie. Does that need to happen for the Raiders to go 9-8, yes or no?
Not really.
Not really?
No, I think they have enough pieces that they don't need this.
What is your fucking, like, their path to victory?
Zamir White, Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, Michael Mayer, my bad, and Brock Bowers. I mean, they have five really strong pieces on offense. They just need one of the QBs to take a step forward. I don't really think that Brock Bowers needs to, like, take that big of a step and be that big of a piece right away. But I do think that he is going to play a part. I don't really see a 1,000-yard season here, because at best, I think it will be the second weapon or the third weapon overall. And that's at the very best, because I don't think he will have more targets than a guy like Jacoby Myers, for example. So I think he will have less targets than Myers, than Adams. And I think the offense will run a whole lot. So Zamir White is going to be a weapon that is ahead of Brock Bowers. So I don't think like his rookie season will be like ginormous, where he will have like Kyle Pitts rookie season where he broke 1,000 yards. I don't really foresee that, and I'm not banking on that. I'm just banking on all of the pieces that they have on offense, which are quite a few, and quite a few good ones. They all just mesh really well, and one of the QBs takes a step forward. And just having a coach that the guys in the locker room believe in, and not the mess that it was last season, I think it will look good, to be honest.
Alex predicts that the Raiders win 9 boring football games.
I don't know if they will be boring, but I am projecting them to beat the Raiders, the Chiefs.
The Raiders have already beat the Raiders in my projections, so it's all good.
Okay. My third team is the Chargers at 8-9. So I think it will be a season where they bounce back slightly from what they were last season. Dean, people are kind of setting them aside because they have no wide receivers.
They have no really, weapons. Thank you.
Yeah, I understand. They do not have the weapons, sure. But I don't really think that it will matter a whole lot because they... How do you put it? They don't really need a whole lot of weapons through the air. I mean, they have Ladd McConkey. Sure, you know? My guy, Ladd McConkey. They still have Joshua Palmer on the team. And they will run the ball a whole lot. They have, like, four running backs that if neither of them gets hurt, I think they will all have a pretty good shot at being good players in the backfield. Yes.
Their four running backs are Gus Edwards, J.K. Yes. Dobbins,
I'm aware.
Isaiah Spiller. Who's the fourth one?
Isaiah Spiller, Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, and Kamani Vidal.
Okay, so between them, they might have 1.5 running backs. So
yes.
So I guess I just don't see it, dude.
I don't know.
J.K. Dobbins is probably going to look good to start the season, then get injured because that seems to always happen. Gus Edwards is very good if you're in the red zone, but guess what? They don't have any weapons, so how the fuck are they getting in the red zone? Isaiah Spiller is similar. I don't see it. I'm not smoking the Chargers hopium this year. They hurt me enough. I'm tapped out. Bartender, I'm done.
I am saying 8-9. I am saying 8-9. I am not saying.
You had them winning 8 games.
Yes. And, like, those 8 games aren't, like, I don't think, like, let me tell you, the 8 wins. I'm giving them a win versus the Raiders, week 1. Don't seem, like, too crazy, right? I'm giving them a win versus the Panthers, week 2. Doesn't seem crazy at all. I'm then giving them a win versus the Tennessee Titans on week 10. That's like, when we get to the AFC South,
I'm
we'll talk
you
about
this
that.
Right now, I have the Titans winning more games than the Chargers.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I have the Titans with the same amount of wins as the last team in the AFC East division, which, funny enough, is the same amount of wins that the team in this division has, the team that's sitting last. So we'll get to that.
I got hopium for the Titans, but anyway.
You got hopium for the Titans. Okay, then I have them as a win versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I have a win versus the New England Patriots. And I have a win versus the Raiders to end it off as well.
You have them beating that's bold. Them beating the Raiders twice. So wait a minute. You gave them 9 wins and they lost 2 against the fucking chart. Oh my god. Okay.
Yes.
Go on.
That is correct.
Okay. Go on.
Now, I also have them with wins versus who else? I think it was this one. Yeah, it is the New Orleans Saints on week 8 as well. And I think that's about it.
Okay. Who's your last place team?
My last place team is the Denver Broncos. Sitting at 5-12.
5-12.
5-12.
I do not have faith in Denver at all.
Right. I do not. I have them with a win versus the Chargers, for example.
But you can't get the... Okay.
I have them with a win versus the Saints. I have them winning versus the Browns, funny enough. I think they will be a team full of ups and downs. The Broncos. I think some of the games that they will lose will be fairly close. Like, for example, I expect them to lose versus Seattle week 1, but be a very close game. I expect them to lose versus the Jets, who I have a really strong team this year, on week 4, but be a close close game as well. So I think they will lose a lot of the close games. I think they will be like a reverse Vikings, not from this past season, but from the season before, where they were winning a lot of one-score games. I think the Broncos will be on the losing end of a lot of those one-score games, because I do think the defense will be strong, but I think the offense will take time to click. And eventually it will click, but it won't be like a routine thing. It won't be something that happens fairly often. I think it will be something that happens from time to time. We see flashes. We see the offense going on. I don't think they will be blown out in a lot of these games. I think most of them will be fairly close. But I think you will see flashes on offense that gives you good indicators and pointers for next season.
You're just a hater.
I'm just a hater. They like have nothing for me to hate.
They have nothing for me to hate, guy. Okay.
Okay, then. Your division.
My division. Give it... That's next.
God, for me, it is. I guess it changes for the two of us. Depending on who do you have with a better record. So apparently you have other teams with a better record than I have. So what's the next division for you? We can do it like that.
East.
Okay. Yeah. Because, for example, like, I'm guessing that in the East you have someone with 12 wins, I guess. No? Okay. So 12 wins, and then in the North you probably have someone with 11 wins at top.
I do.
So yeah, if you had someone in the North with 12 and in the East with 11, it would be flipped, basically.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's why it chose me, because I have 12 in the North and 11 in the okay. East. But yeah.
So it's not consistent. Okay, got it. So you want to do East or North? Because I don't care.
Do East. Go by your order.
Okay. I don't like this at all. Number one in the division. I have the Jets going 12-5.
Look. 12-5.
It gets worse.
Oh, buddy.
Number two in the division. I have the Dolphins going 9-8. Number three in the division. I have the Buffalo Bills going 6-11. And last in the division, I have the New England Patriots going 4-13.
Okay. So we are not all that different.
What?
Yeah. I have the Bills with like two more wins, and I have the Jets with two more losses. And I have the Patriots winning one more game, I think. So we are fairly close. So I have the Jets 10-7 winning the division. I have the Miami Dolphins 9-8, second, still making the playoffs. I have the Buffalo Bills going 8-9. And I have the New England Patriots 5-12. So it seems like both of us are somewhat
Bill's happy. Schedule is fucking tough, dude.
It is.
Like,
it is.
There were so many games where I was like, I don't freaking know, man. There are so many games like that.
It is not the easiest walk in the park. That's for sure.
The Jets do have it like a, for the most part, a cakewalk schedule, and assuming Aaron Rodgers plays a full 18, well, 17, 8-1 they're won by. A full 17, I don't see how they can lose this division.
That's kind of what I was going to ask. Like, are we not afraid, not even one bit, that Aaron Rodgers isn't like Aaron Rodgers anymore? After, like, completely tearing off his Achilles at age almost 40.
I mean, here's the thing. So, like, how much less of Aaron Rodgers does he need to be to lose against? Hold on, let's see. Let's see who I have them beating here in a few of these games. Can I do it by team?
If you click on the theme, assuming we are using the same website, it shows you the record of the team.
There it is. So they have who are they losing to here? The Titans, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Vikings. I'm ignoring division games. Fucking Steelers. The Cardinals, the Seahawks, the Jaguars. Like, they just have so many games, dude, where I'm just like, I can't.
So you have them losing versus the Tennessee Titans.
Do I?
No, you said who they are losing. Oh, okay. You mentioned the win.
No, I don't have them. Yeah.
Okay. Like, and then King, if they would lose. Okay, got it.
They play the Patriots twice. I have them going 1-1 against the Bills and 1-1 against the Dolphins, if I'm not mistaken. But they still play the Patriots twice. That Colts team is really young. The Rams team, I could see the Rams winning. But at the same time, I think the Jets have a better roster than the Rams. And
I was flip-flopping on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I could see the Rams winning. But at the same time, like, I think the Jets have a better roster and both their quarterbacks are old. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if Rodgers was out, so the backup was Tyrod Taylor. And thinking about that, like, how many of the games would I flip? And I think I would flip one. I would probably flip one. I would flip two. I would flip three. I would flip four games. So assuming like Tyrod Taylor starts the whole season, I would have him at 6-11.
Yeah, but that's still... I don't think Aaron Rodgers... With how many primetime games the NFL gave the Jets, I hate to break it to you, but I think if a pass rusher like thinks about getting close to Aaron Rodgers, I think they're going to throw a flag. Like, I'm not saying the fix is in, but the fix is in. To make sure Aaron Rodgers does not go down.
The like, Jets have made the call to the podium, but it's not for the draft pick. Okay, so we are sort of in agreement that the Jets are going to win this division. The Jets are probably the best roster. Not only are they best roster, because I think the Dolphins probably have a word in that, in being the best roster in the division. But I think
Dolphins don't travel well, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I think they are more complete in the sense that they can play good at home. They can play good at away, and like their defense probably travels a bit better than the Miami Dolphins offense travels.
Defense always travels better than offense, but not only that, they also play in cold, inclement weather, whereas the Dolphins do not at home. So when you have to go to like a Minnesota or New England late, that's less of an issue. Buffalo late, that's less of an issue. Than it was when I was looking at the Dolphins game and I was like, oh, they're going to Buffalo. Like, I don't know about that, you know? So, it's tough.
Makes sense. We are sort of in line here for most of it. Then the Dolphins, 9-8. We both have them at 9-8. Do you have them making the playoffs?
Yes. They actually are the last team to make the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's likely that way for me as well. I did not check what seed do they have yet.
Oh my god. Oh, but I have them 7-1 at home, 2-7 on the road.
I have them 8-0 at home.
Yeah, like there you go. That's the story. There you go. Like,
yeah. I have them. I didn't even look at that until you mentioned. But yeah, I have them 8-0 at home, and I have 1-8 away.
Ta-da!
And like, I did not expect it to be that way. I did not make it to be that way. I just picked the games one by one, week by week. This is what I got.
Yep.
And I also have them 4-2 versus losing records, 5-6 versus winning records, 2-5 versus playoff teams.
I have them 1-6 versus playoff teams. So what that tells me is not only do they play, according to my predictions, they play 7 fucking playoff teams. They play them all on the road.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Not the best of things. Okay, so we are kind of in agreement that the Dolphins, although good, probably get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. Because they look a lot like pretenders, right?
Well, yeah, actually, yeah. In my predictions, they would be going to New York in January or late December. So,
yeah. Get whooped.
Yeah. Yeah,
get
whooped. That would not be a good. That would not be a good time.
Okay, Buffalo Bills. Not the best of seasons.
It feels dirty giving Josh Allen like only 6 wins. It really does. Like,
we kind of alluded to this in the last episode that we had.
Here's the thing. They only got to 6 wins, and I gave them fucking wins against the Ravens and the Texans. Like,
so I did not.
That's just rough, dude.
I did not give them wins. Rough. I did not give them wins there.
I'm looking at
and
this
I did.
Schedule, and it is brutal as fuck, dude.
I think it has some
Who
good
do
patches,
have
but again.
Then? Do you have them beating the Chiefs?
No, I have them beating the Cardinals.
Okay, the Cardinals.
I have them beating the Cardinals week 1. I have them beating the Jacksonville Jaguars week 3. I have them beating the Tennessee Titans week 7. The Miami Dolphins when they're playing at home on week 9. Then I have them beating, I have them beating San Francisco. Because I have the...
I say you had to get to there. I'm looking at the ones I gave him, and I was like, I only got to 6. How the fuck did he get to 8?
Yeah, I give them that win because they're off the bye. I'm expecting them, like, they need to win to keep to be in the playoff race and whatnot.
Yeah.
So they're going to be extra motivated. I'm going with the narrative there. I'm giving them a win versus the Rams, which is very iffy right now.
It's very iffy.
Yeah. Lions? And then I'm giving them wins. No, I'm giving them wins versus the Patriots and the Jets in week 17.
Hmm.
So that ends up with an 8-9 record, 4-2 versus losing records, 4-7 versus winning records, 3-7 versus playoff teams. Again, this just shows that they are facing 10 of my projected playoff teams here across both divisions.
Same. They're 4-6 for me against playoff teams for me.
Yeah, so it's not the easy. Yeah.
I'm not, you can call me a Josh Allen hater because I have called Joe Burrow better than him, but it's hard to give this team wins, especially when they didn't really do, this is more of a retooling season for them.
Yeah, it's
Josh
it's
Allen
hard.
Is a great quarterback, but like, how many fucking playoff teams can you go against?
It is like, true, and like, he's lacking weapons, all of the guys are young in there. The coaching doesn't inspire me a whole lot of confidence, to be honest. I like James Cook. I think the offense will run a lot through the ground. But I think eventually the deficiencies of the offense, the deficiencies on the defense as well, lost a few key pieces.
Everyone on the defense. And they have to play fucking like the Cardinals, who just drafted Marvin Harrison Jr. and stopped on top of healthy Kyler Murray. They drafted Trey Benson. So they have a bunch of weapons here. The Jaguars signed people. They play the Ravens. They play the Texans, who have like 4 wide receivers. Like,
not the best.
My God, dude. They play the Chiefs, and then they play the fucking 49ers after a bye. Like, God. It's just
tough. Not the best. Let's leave it at that. It's not the best for sure. So yeah, again, retooling season. I don't think it will be anything great. I think the offense will look okay. I think the defense will allow more points than they should, which won't let them just have their game plan of, like, running the ball a whole lot, taking time off the clock. I think that will be off the table in a lot of these games in which defense get pounded a bit more. They will have to throw the ball more. Mistakes will come. I mean, we know that Allen, although a good QB, is prone to throwing the ball a bit too, I'm not going to say radical, but just like taking some chances, let's put it at that. Some of the chances got masqueraded by Diggs, who made great plays at times when he was with the Bills. Now he doesn't have Bills, Diggs. How will this offense look like now that Diggs isn't there? Who will be like the safety piece? Will it be Kincaid? Will it be one of the rookie receivers? Will any of the receivers step up to be one of the safety valves for Josh Allen? That's all questions that we need answers for. And at this point, I don't think the answers are all that great.
Yeah.
And that leaves the Patriots. I mean, no one is really expecting much from the Patriots this season. It feels like everyone sort of said, okay, this is going to be like the learning curve season for Drake May. Even if he is going to be something, like the first season won't be pretty.
Bro, they didn't do him any favors. I'm looking at these first 6 weeks. Bengals, Seahawks, Jets, 49ers, Dolphins, Texans.
Yeah, no favors. It's for sure not the best.
No favors.
I have them going, if I'm not mistaken, I have them going 2-3 to start the season. So,
same.
3, and then, I mean, I gave them 5 wins overall, so the rest of the season doesn't go great. But I think you see some changes from the Bill Belichick regime. I think the offense will look somewhat better. It won't click right away. It won't look like a super dynamic offense, but I don't think it will be like Carolina Panthers level of bad from last season. I think it will have glimpses. I think it will look decent at times. That's all you can really ask for, to be honest, from this team, from the place that they were, the pieces that they have. Everyone is super young, from QB to wide receivers, tight end included. The defense has a lot of young pieces as well. So I expect this to be a team that grows into their shoes a bit more. I have them winning the last game of the season, by the way, versus the Bills. So maybe it's just like...
So like, I don't think you can judge them based on how they start, but you can judge them how they finish. If they look better at the end than they did at the start, then I think you can call that a win. Yeah. I think if there's an owner who won't overreact to all the losing, I think it is Robert Kraft. Like, because let's be honest, if after Gerard Mayo got the job, he didn't have a sit-down conversation with Robert Kraft and was like, look, man, This isn't like sunshine and roses. This isn't the Patriots dynasty that I was just left. So give me some time. Allow me to get the roster I want, develop the pieces, and then we'll go from there. Tell me how I'm doing at the end of the season. How it's looking at the end of the season, not like how the season like went overall. Because it could very well be looking really good at the
end. And just like overall, I think he really has to have the trust of the owner. Like, it was embedded in his contract that if Bill had to leave, he would be, like, the main guy to take over. So, I mean, the owner, like, sort of has to have some sort of, like, belief in this guy. Like, he's not going to throw him a contract saying that just for the heck of it. So, like, there is some trust there between Kraft and Mayo.
I think that Gerard Mayo's destiny is in Drake May's hands. I think if they have something with Drake May, Mayo will be more than fine. I think if they made this selection this early and either like they ruin him with how bad this roster is or he's just terrible, I think then, because then you scramble to actually find the quarterback and then you're like, well, fuck. How much patience does Robert Kraft actually have? So I think it's a lot of pressure on Drake May. I think that's where Gerard Mayo's destiny lies.
And we hope that he excels.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Okay. So that's the East out of the way. That leaves the North and the South. You have the North fire, so go ahead. North.
Okay. Number one, I have the Baltimore Ravens at 11-6.
Okay.
Number two, I have the Cincinnati Bengals at 11-6.
Okay, so a tie there. Nice little tie.
Number three, I have the Cleveland Browns at 10-7. At number four, I think the wheels fall off. I think this is Tomlin's last run. I have the Steelers at 5-12, and Russell Wilson officially ending Mike Tomlin's win streak.
He couldn't escape.
He couldn't escape.
Russell Wilson. Okay, so not too far off, but a bit different. I have the Ravens 12-5. I expect them to have another strong season. Now, this might be one of those teams that I'll waver a bit on. As we get closer to the seasons, I wouldn't be shocked if I flip a few wins for losses. Mike McDonald really did the number on that defense. They played great on the defensive side. I'm not so sure if they're going to be at the same level defensively. And Lamar, just as a running QB, and at the type of QB that he is in general, just seems to have those ups and downs. So I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't look at his MVP level again.
What did you say, Alex? What did you just say, Alex? Repeat that statement again.
That Lamar Jackson can be one of those QBs who has some ups and downs.
Interesting. So what do you call that? There's a word that you call that. What?
Inconsistent?
That is the word.
That is the word.
How did an inconsistent quarterback get two unanimous MVPs?
One of them wasn't unanimous. I believe this last one wasn't unanimous by a single vote. So to that voter, fuck you.
Someone had sanity.
I mean, he just makes plays when it counts and when he gets on the groove, when the team is good around him, when he doesn't pick up injuries, when the defense is solid, he is one of those QBs that can impress. And sure, last season, the first season in which he won the MVP, I mean, it was just like he was the new hotness in the league. He played great, sure, but he was the new hotness. He just got out there, dazzled everyone, played great, got the team to the playoffs, was their first seed. So he won the unanimous MVP. This one, I mean,
I can run 5 miles when it's breezy outside, it's 70 degrees, and the sun is like starting to fade down, and the walkways are all clear. And you just listed like 10 things to go right.
Yeah, there are QBs who can't win when things go that right. Like, not every single QB can just do it, I guess. but I would say that, like, he can have his ups and downs. I'm expecting them to have another good season offensively because the weapons are still around them. I think, like, Derrick Henry going in there really is going to help him out. I mean, in one of the worst offenses of the league last season, Derrick Henry still had 15 or 16 touchdowns, which is, like, asinine. It just, like, the O-line was so bad that he just couldn't get any sort of decent yardage. At times. So, Henry being there, you add on the... who's the guy they had last season? Why am I blinking on his name? Flowers, Josh, right? Bateman. No, Flowers, Jesus Christ, dude. That guy is long gone. Like, let's put it at that. Like, that ship has sailed. It's the Titanic. He resigned to be the guy that is going to be there holding the spot for guys that they're going to draft in a year or two.
Oh, my God.
That ship has sank more than the Titanic at this point, buddy.
Rashad Bateman wheels up.
Rashad Bateman against an ice cube. Just destroyed. So, yeah, I again, think the offense around them are good enough for him to succeed. I think Andrews being back healthy will really help them out. So yeah, 12-5 seems okay. You have them at 11-6, just one game difference here or there. Doesn't matter a whole lot. I have them being a team that is good at home. I have them a team that is 3-4 versus playoff teams, surprising enough. 8-0 versus teams with a losing record. Doesn't bode great for them and the chances in the playoffs, I guess. I haven't made the playoffs yet. Once we're finished, I'll make the playoffs really quick. But yeah, 7-1 at home, 5-4 away, so a team that travels well, in my eyes. I like them overall.
They're not bad.
The Bengals, though. Give it to me straight. Explain the 11-6. It's your team.
I'm not super confident in the way that we have handled the T. Higgins situation. And I think that low-key we might be more distracted coming into this season than we have in the previous seasons. And with the loss of Tyler Boyd, I'm not sure that we have the necessary pieces to fill that void. So, like, let's say T demands a trade in the middle of the season and we have to move him. Who fills that void? Is it Mike Gesicki? Is it the raw rookie that we just, like, I just see too many things that could go wrong with the offense. And the offense has been a juggernaut the last 2-3 years when Joe Burrow has been healthy. I think the defense could make a lot of strides. I really do like what we did. We have drafted the secondary very well. We drafted into defensive line in this last draft. And we focused on drafting tight ends to develop. I really like how we are playing the long game, but at the same time, we are playing the long game. And I'm not sure how well that bolts for this season, especially with Joe Burrow coming off of injury. The thing I pray for is that Joe Burrow does not enter this season again fucking hurt. That's because if that happens, this 11-6, you can just throw that in. But yeah, I see too many things that could go wrong and not enough things that could go right, quite honestly. Now, granted, I still have them win 11 games and losing 6, assuming that Joe Burrow is healthy. I don't think that's like a bad thing. I just have a bad feeling that I didn't have in previous years. Well, I had a bad feeling last year because Joe Burrow went into the season hurt, but I have a bad feeling that I didn't have during the Super Bowl year.
Okay, so I think that this season can be a tricky one for you guys. I would not really expect T to live during the season, to be honest. I think he will play the whole season. I think the idea will just be having Chase, having T, investing in the tight end, so now Gesicki, Hall, the tight end that you guys just drafted in the rookie draft, then having Burton playing the slot a bit alongside Yosivas.
I don't think Burton plays the slot this year.
I read the report yesterday that they drafted them in that sense. Like, they drafted them to play the slot a bit more this season. Not to say that he's going to be the primary slot receiver, but a guy that they want to use at the slot a bit. And in case T lives, then he takes off T Higgins' spot. That's what I read yesterday.
I think the T Higgins spot is going to go down. Andrea?
Andre Yosivas, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because he has a closer to T. Higgins' body type of frame.
Yeah.
So the dude that we are going to be. Go ahead.
Technically the best guy for the slot, at least from where I read, that was what he was drafted for last season. No, of the young guys.
Of the young guys.
Yeah, it was Charlie Jones, if I'm not mistaken, the guy that you are using it as a returner. I liked them last season coming out of college. The nickname that a few people ran with him was Charlie Football, because he really was like guy that was obsessed with football. I think he did really well at the Pro Bowl, Senior Bowl, that is, if I'm not mistaken. So I think he's one of those guys. Between him and Andre Josivas and Burton, I think he will have a decent slot position. I don't think he will miss Tyler Boyd a whole lot with those three guys basically making the position. And then at tight end, I think he will have a piece that you didn't usually have in years before. So maybe we now start seeing, now with a new OC and whatnot, maybe you do start seeing a more of a shift to include tight ends a bit more and to have a more diverse playing field outside of T and Chase, just spreading the ball up a bit more between those three young guys. Then the running game gets weird, right? Because for a long time, you had Joe Mixon lying around. He was the workhorse. He didn't handle every single touch, but he was the workhorse for your team. And now he's out, and you get two guys to replace him, basically. So much like you did, I guess, with Tyler Boyd, where he leaves, and now you have three guys to replace him, basically. Mixon leaves, and now you have Chase Brown. Zach Moss and Captain America, right? Chase Evans, is he still around? I don't know. I think he's still around, but I'm not 100% certain.
He was brought on to be on basically the Geo replacement.
So you add all of those things up, and maybe you get a good mix and replacement in like two or three players, I guess.
He is still on his rookie contract.
See?
Nobody damn. Okay.
They're still around. So, yeah. I don't think it will be a bad season. I think it will be a strong season. I guess it will depend a whole lot on how Joe Burrow comes back, because the injury is a tad concerning. I mean, it was... the thumb on his throwing end? Was it something like that, right?
His throwing side, yes.
Yeah, okay. So throwing end is always tricky. I mean, it could be difficult for the grip and whatnot. Could make it difficult for the throws, get the spin right. It depends on his rehab. I don't think I've heard anything like too negative about him so far. So
I just so iffy on the... So we kind of like took a quantity over quality approach, whereas in the previous years we had the opposite. We had Joe Mixon, we had T. Higgins, we had Jamar Chase. So now we had Tyler Boyd. So now we lose Tyler Boyd and we replace him with basically a bunch of people. It could be Andrea. It could be that dude we just drafted. It could be Chase Brown. Like, same with the running back, Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon was an amazing running back for us. But now we got Zach Moss. Now we got Chase Brown and Chris Evans. So I don't know. I could see how it could work, especially with the running backs, because you don't necessarily need one bell cow back as long as you have like a between the grinders guy and someone who can pass catch very well. But at the same time, having a bell cow also doesn't necessarily telegraph what you're doing pre-play. Like, if Chris Evans is out there, do you really like doubt it's going to be inside zone? I don't know.
Yeah, you're right in that sense. But, like, I mean, as we are talking through it, doesn't this look a whole lot like the approach that, for example, the Kansas City Chiefs have?
No, they have to do it with, especially having paid Joe Burrow. It's something they have to do. It's just, I'm not sure how it's going to work.
I mean, it worked with the Chiefs, right? I mean, they 100%. Moved off of an overpaid wide receiver, and not overpaid, but like for what they needed. They couldn't really afford a guy like Tyreek Hill, so they move off of him. And then they try and replace him with a bunch of pieces to sort of make an amalgam of guys that can all, like, in conundrum, do the same work as Tyreek Hill. I mean, at times it has looked bad, but I mean, the end result is 2 Super Bowls, so... At the end of the day, results are what matter. Isn't that what you usually say?
So understand, like, after you pay the quarterback, the game is make sure your defense is solid and make sure the offensive line is good. I think we've done one very well. I'm not sure if we've done the other very well.
It remains to be seen. But again, we both have them with a solid record this season. Yeah. I have them 7-1 at home, 4-5 away. 4-5 versus winning versus teams with a winning record, 7-1 versus teams with losing record, 2-5 versus playoff teams. So, not the greatest, but it seems to be a trend that I don't have this, like, the teams with the more wins, they don't seem to be against, like, have good records versus good teams. Apparently, like, the next team is the one that has great records over every single one of the winning teams, playoff teams, whatever. So, weird enough, but here we are. Okay, Bengals should be good. Things to be cautioned for. Joe Burrow, does he come back healthy? And the whole saga with T. Higgins. And do they finally nail the O-line? That's basically what we've talked about.
That. If we haven't nailed that, then like we're just... I got no answer for what we should do.
It's gonna be sad.
You know how, like, some people, like, will have the dog pick out, like, they'll put a bunch of random numbers on the floor and they'll have the dog pick out winning lottery numbers? We might as well at that point if we can't get the offensive lineup. I don't know. I ain't got the answer, Chief. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Now for the other Ohio team.
The other Ohio team. I have them going 9-8, personally. You have them at what?
10-7.
10-7, okay. So, close enough, one win difference. This is the first team with great records, first of the playoff teams, with great records versus winning teams. I have them 6-5 versus teams with winning records. And versus playoff teams, I have them 5-3 versus playoff teams. So in my eyes, they should have a difficult schedule. Leaves them at 9-8. They make the playoffs, but it's not like
they have a lot
just a bunch of roses. Yeah, they have a bunch. That is the main thing.
The first question is: last year, the defense was all time good by basically all the metrics. And historically speaking, when you have a defense that is that good, they don't repeat that same production.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're not a good defense, but they don't shut down.
It's not something that traveled well with year to year overall.
The Browns defense felt oppressive last year.
Yeah.
The Browns offense felt anemic last year. So where my 10-7 goes is they'll be a little less oppressive defensively, but they'll make up with that with a little bit more offensive production, I hope. Now, the question is, can that be true? Deshaun has not looked good at all, dude. I have said a lot of times, let's wait, let's see. I've waited, I've seen, it's shit. It's bad. So, second question mark. Okay, well, what about the running game? They have Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb is coming off tearing basically every ligament in his knee. Can he be...
Knee that he once blew up.
I do think if there's a guy who can come back from that twice, it is Nick Chubb. And I don't want to sit here and disrespect Nick Chubb because he is a fucking beast of a running back. But at the same time, would you be silly to be concerned about it? No! You wouldn't be silly to be concerned about that. Like, so,
I mean, father time, the injury, everything piles on, right?
And then they decided to add on to this. The Cooper Kupp's returning, obviously. And they decided to sign Jerry Jeudy to be the wide receiver two to fix their wide receiver two woes. And I was just like, oh, no. I can just see the amount of deep balls that fucking Deshaun is going to sail on this dude. I feel so bad for Jeudy, dude. Judy's going to have multiple plays where he's going to be wide fucking open and the fucking ball sails 5 yards to the left. Oh,
what do you mean feel bad for Jeudy? If the targets hit him in the ends, he would drop them. Come on now. We've had this. We've played this game before. Even if the targets hit him, he would still just completely fall out of his hands. So,
oh, man.
I don't feel the best about that. Yeah, well, I mean, the wide receiver room is weird. The running back room is weird.
David Njoku might act. After Amari Cooper, David Njoku was probably their best target, and that includes Nick Chubb, I hate to say it.
I mean, he was great last season. Let's give him at least that. But yeah, you're right. Like, the more that we talk about this, the more do I think, like, we might need to take a few wins away. Because it doesn't look all that great. The outlook isn't great at all. So it leaves me wondering,
I
like...
I just talked myself out of this pick.
Like, I could see myself flipping a bunch of these right now. Like, after really talking about it, laying it out. But then there are, like, wins versus, for example, the Bengals. They always play the Bengals. Yeah, I have them beating the Ravens as well. But, like, for example, maybe do I flip the Chiefs win that I have in week 15? Like, I have the Browns winning that one.
Oh, my God, I did too! What the fuck?
Yeah, like, there are things here in which, like, you see it at first and it's like, okay, cold weather, they're playing at Cleveland. Like, this is going to be... This is still going to be a team that is tough to beat because the pieces... Although the defense, we are fairly certain that the defense will take a step back because, like, repeating that sort of performance is almost unheard of. But, if they take a step back, they will still be pretty good. Like, let's make that clear. And then it's like... Can the offense be something? And
the
I guess that's...
Gets a three touchdown. Generally speaking, can the offense get to about three touchdowns in a game? If they can, they can win most games. That's the
question. But it's really tough to say that they will. Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see myself flipping a bunch of these. Right now, it will stay as is. But I wouldn't be shocked if we're sitting here like before the season starts and we talk about this and we... No, just like we go back on our predictions and like the changes that we make, and it's like it's very different outlook for the Browns. Training camps are gonna start soon, if I'm not mistaken. So, as more info comes out, I wouldn't be shocked if I start flipping a few of these. Okay, that leaves the last team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have them at 5-12, was that what you said?
Five and twelve.
I have them a bit better because although I think Russell Wilson isn't a good QB anymore, I don't think he is what we saw with the Broncos. I think he is a tad better than that. So I have them going 7-9. Just one win short of the 500.
You still have the streak ending.
Yeah, I still have the streak ending, which is makes me nervous. Like, you never want to bet against that, because Tomlin has had worse QBs than Russell Wilson. I remember him getting to that record with Duck motherfucking Hodges. So, and Mason Rudolph. So I'm not going to put it past him to get to 500.
I understand he did that. He's a great coach. I'm not saying he's not. But, like, how much bullshit can you get away with exactly before like, there's just that one season that it all catches up to you? You know what I mean?
Apparently, how long has it been going on for him?
Like, 2 decades or some shit like that, isn't it?
Okay, so apparently you can go at least 2 decades.
Okay. But here's the thing, though. The last, like, 3 to 4 years have been more impressive than the previous like 15. That's the thing. Like, I couldn't tell you how he got to 9 wins with some of those rosters. I couldn't. Bullshit. Voodoo magic. I don't know.
It does seem like that. Like, it's really that voodoo magic that he does at the end when the team really needs it, and it looks very unlikely that they will reach it out of nowhere. And here you can make the same case, like, would you even be shocked if, like, week 16, they beat the Ravens? And instead of me having them 7-9, they go 8-8.
8-9, but yeah.
No, I have them, what? I have them 7-9. Oh, I missed the game.
The game!
Okay, no. So I have them 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. Would it be nuts if they beat the Eagles, they beat the Ravens, and they just make it a team over 500?
Maybe. Those are two really good teams, though.
Yeah, they are. But they seem to beat those bad, those good teams when the going gets rough.
Homie, their last four, oh my god! From week 11 to the end of the season, they play the Ravens, the Browns, the Bengals, the Browns, the Eagles, the Ravens, the Chiefs, and then the Bengals.
Yeah. It's all division up there for a while.
I feel like Roger Goodell took that streak personally.
Looks like that, because from week 11 to week 18, they play every single team in the division twice. And the two other slots available go for the Eagles and the Chiefs. Eagles, I don't have as a great team this year, but we'll talk about that next week. Stay tuned. If you're an Eagles fan. Okay, so you have the streak ending. I have the streak barely ending. Because apparently it's 8 and 9. I was missing one.
If they go above 500 these last 7 games, I don't know. I don't know what I would do, but I don't know. I don't know how. It's impossible. It's not physically possible to me for them to win 4 of these games. There's no way.
I have them winning 2.
I have them winning 2 as well. But see? There's no way they're winning 4 of these games.
I do have them with a fairly strong start of the season. Like, before they go to the bye, I have them winning 5 games. So they go 5-2 before the bye. But again, the schedule is a bit easier. It's not really all that easy, the more I look at it. But I have them getting wins in some tricky spots. Like, for example, the Jets. Yeah, Jets on week 7. Steelers are at home. I could see, like, the defense just smothering Rodgers for a while.
For me than the Bills.
Yeah, I have them 4-8 versus playoff teams. So 12 playoff teams with a schedule of a team that finished. Oh, they didn't finish last in the division, did they?
That was the Bengals.
Yeah, with the same record, if I'm not mistaken. So. Yeah, and it's the better schedule for them. Okay, here's one that I want to talk about. The AFC South. Give it to me straight.
Roger Goodell's obsession with rolling the Bengals up against the Chiefs every year is getting annoying. Anyway, sorry.
It sells, buddy. It sells. Give it to me straight. AFC South.
Oh, this is the one that disappoints me. Ugh. Okay. Hold on. Psyching myself up. Okay. Number one.
Come on.
The Indianapolis Colts going to.
Yes, Angelo. You saw the light. Come on. Let's go. Okay. I'm an happy camper right now. I'm an happy camper. You had them at what record? My bad. I didn't listen to that.
10-7.
Okay.
10-7.
Same.
Number two, I had the Jacksonville Jaguars at 9-8.
Same.
Number three, I had the Houston Texans at 9-8.
Exactly.
And number four, the one that I'm sure we're not going to agree with, I have the Tennessee Titans at 8-9.
Okay. I have them a bit worse. Not a whole lot, but worse. Okay, so we agree on the top three. I'll take the Titans out of the way right now. I have them 5-12.
Yeah.
Again, like, I don't see what you see in this team. I think the pieces around the QB are good. I don't think the defense is is great, because I think it's a very similar situation to the Raiders in the sense of a lot of pieces. I think the Raiders have better pieces than the Titans, because I'm not a biggest fan of Ridley. I think Hopkins is a bit long in the tooth. Pollard is not the running back that I usually like strive for. It's not one of my favorite running backs in the league. Spears I like, but I think he is not a difference maker overall. Kiko Kunku I like, but again, it's a tight end. They don't move the needle all that much. And then I like the OC. I think the O-line can be better than last season. But like, to me, they are definitely a worse Raiders. Like, I see a lot of what I see in the Raiders. But then in the QB, I don't trust as much. I know you do, and I know most people do. Prefer Will Levis over Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew. Hey, maybe yes, just Aiden O'Connell. I don't think it will be a popular take to say that Will Levis is better than Gardner Minshew, purely because he has a very Joe Andrew-like following. Gardner Minshew, that is. That's one for you to catch if you're a wrestling fan.
I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry. Yeah, I believe. It's okay. I believe. It's all good.
You believe. But no, like Gardner Minshew really has a lot of very passionate fans for him. So I think you would be hard pressed to find people that would say that Will Levis is a better QB. But I wouldn't be shocked if it's close, at least. But I see a lot of what I see in the Raiders, in the Titans. But I think in the Titans, some of the players are on the wrong end of the spectrum here in terms of age, in terms of their abilities. I don't think it will be the best fit. And I think it will be a very one-and-done season for Will Levis. I think they will be in the market for QB. Fairly soon after the season ends. I think it will be pretty evident that they need to go for a QB. Right now, I haven't finished the entirety of the NFC, but I have the Titans very close to being in the first overall pick. In terms of the AFC, they are the first team in the draft. Right now, they are number two, but I haven't finished the NFC. But they are ahead of the Patriots, the Broncos for a pick. So I think they would be in the race for a QB next season. I think the Ridley experiment won't work all that well. I think Hopkins will be another year closer to calling it quits. Like, he was okay last season. He wasn't the same Hopkins that he was in Arizona, that he was in the Houston Texans, to me and to my eye. And again, the defense, I think they have some solid pieces, but I think the secondary is so-and-so. I think they have a few good players in there, but it's not the best. I think that the front seven is solid, especially the front four. The linebacker room, I have some doubts. So I think they are a Raiders with slightly worse offensive weapons and a worse defense. And I think maybe slightly better coached, but I think Antonio Pierce brings the factor of passion. He brings the factor of being a player's coach. That plays well into the Raiders culture. And I don't think Tennessee Titans will have that sort of culture here. So that's why I'm fairly low on them. I don't envision this to be a great team. But the rest, we are like right on. I think the Jags are going to have a worse season. Do you have any of the Jags or the Texans making the playoffs?
No, I do not.
Okay, neither do I.
The AFC, so, honestly, is really, really tough overall.
It is. Go ahead,
I think most of the really good quarterbacks in the AFC are in the AFC. Like, just thinking about some of the people I have out of the playoffs right now, I have Josh Allen, I have Justin Herbert, I have Trevor Lawrence, and I have CJ Stroud all missing the fucking playoffs. That's insane. That's insane, dude.
I mean, the schedule for the Texans is just brutal. I mean, it's one of the toughest schedule. Yeah. So it makes sense. Again, I am expecting regression from Stroud as is. Then you add on to this schedule, even the teams that should be easier for them, like, for example, the Bears, are teams that are looking to be on the up and up. So it gets really tough here to give them wins, especially like in the middle part here. I believe I have them not being at their best. Then there are some tricky spots here. For example, week 13, for example, I think they are a better team than the Jags this season. But Jags coming off of the bye, and they're playing at Jacksonville, and then the Texans have their bye next week. I think some of the slots here becomes hard to give them wins. When I usually, like, in a vacuum, I would probably pick them as a team. Tricky spots here. Like, coming off out of emotional division games is always tough for them. So, for example, they face the Colts on week 8. Then they go to face the Jets on week 9. And before all of that, they face the Packers on week 7. So just some very rough stretches. And then it finalizes with the Lions and the Cowboys on week 10 and 11, respectively. So it becomes really tough in some of the stretches that they have here. I think overall they will be a very solid team. I don't think that Stroud will look like a shell of himself. I just think that there is regression coming in a few very key scenarios. Like I mentioned this stat before, but like his passes to turnover ratio was amongst the absolute best ever. Like best. You look at Tom Brady's best season in that statistic and Aaron Rodgers' best seasons in that statistic. Stroud was up there, and I don't think he's the type of QB, at least yet. Like, don't kill me, Stroud fans. At least yet. Like, I admit that I was wrong not liking your guy prior to the draft. But don't kill me right now for this. But it's I do not think that he's prime Tom Brady. I'm sorry. I don't think he's prime Tom Brady. I don't think he's prime Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a good player, but he's not those guys. So I expect some regression coming there. And just like overall, tough schedule, regression comes. It is what it is. I think the team is solid, but it's up and up. And then the Jags, like, I have them higher than I expected because I really don't like this Jags team. I think they have a lot of holes. I think ETN is one of those guys that produces well in the running game. But when you watch him, he is clearly not what was promised out of Clemson. I think he... Overall, he kind of sucks. Like, let's be honest about this.
I think he sucks, dude. Let's be honest about this. He's the best running back out of that class. That's sad to say, but it's true.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any of the late round guys. So you're probably right. But it's like, it's not a tough bar to clear. Like, it just kind of looks... Yeah, I mean, like, his big appeal out of college was that he was this great receiving back. You really don't see that. We talked about this before we even had the show. I remember sending you a clip of, like, why his production through the air in college wasn't really reflective of him being a great receiving back. And it was mostly because of the targets that he was having were mostly dump offs, they were plays that got him in space with the ball, and it wasn't really his receiving prowess that did any of the work. It was just like he was on a great team, the team found him space, he did great in that space. But like the way that he caught the ball was sometimes counterintuitive on what you want to do when you're catching the football, because I mean, it was 4 years ago almost. So, but it was something along the lines of like the way that his body was turning wasn't exactly what you expect from a guy that should be a great receiving back, because it does not translate too well into further production when the ball gets into his hands. So it was something along those lines. Like it was sort of misleading, the type of receiving production that he had at Clemson. And now you see here, and it's like, they clearly are looking for a running back that can help take some of the load out of ETN. Do they think that ETN isn't a great running back? Do they think that he will be a better running back without so much work? That's a question that is to be answered.
Tank Bigsby. Is he just going to be that thing that never happens? That we just keep talking about every year.
I mean, at this point, I wouldn't be shocked.
It's only been 1 year, but
yeah. Yeah, I mean, watching him last season, and I have him in a few dynasty leagues, but watching him last season, he didn't really think like it would happen. D'Ernest Johnson would look much better to my naked eye, both in the receiving game and even in between the tackles.
I think he's a great running back, too.
Yeah, he's kind of underrated. Then I think, like, if he had a bigger name, if there are just players that are like that, right? Like, they get into the league, they are undrafted, then they join the league, they play great for a while, but never really get a proper chance because, I mean, teams just can't get past the fact that he was like fifth, sixth, seventh undrafted guy. And they never really gave him the reins. But like when I watched him last season, I'm not going to say that he was better than Etienne, but I don't think the difference was like all that big. Like I think they were fairly close in terms of both running and in the receiving game. I think Dearness Johnson was better than Etienne. Like the stats surely don't say that because he didn't have the same amount of opportunity, and opportunity is always king, right? But like when he got the ball, he looked better to me. So I wouldn't be shocked if Bigsby doesn't happen and Dearness keeps getting his chances. I also think that they drafted like another guy this season or added them in as an undrafted free agent. Don't really know much about the guy, but I was looking up I was looking at their team and the depth chart. Just had a blank there. I was looking at the depth chart and saw that they added the new guy in there as well. So yeah, I think this team is another one that I've gone a waiver on because I really don't want to be this high on the Jags, although I'm not even giving them playoffs or anything. I have them at 9-8 and missing the playoffs. Before I did this, I was fairly certain I was going to put the Jags as a 7-win team, 8-win team at most, absolute most. To give them a winning record feels iffy to me. But it is what it is. I mean, this is what popped up here. I wasn't really trying meddling too much on this. So, the winning team, though, in the division. And explain to me why you, the biggest Anthony Richardson hater in the whole wide world, are giving him 10 wins.
Because Roger Goodell fixed it for them.
Oh, the fix is in. That's your take. I mean, they had the worst record, right? Oh, no, they had the second worst record in this division last season. Like, I don't even have them. Like, I have them only facing 4 playoff teams. And they are 2-2 versus those. Then I have them going 6-3 versus teams with a losing record. And 4-4 with teams versus teams with winning records. So I don't think it's like they are just facing shit teams.
You have them beating shit teams like I do? Shocker.
Yeah, but Shocker! I also have them going 500 versus both playoff teams and teams with winning records in general. So they just seem like a solid team. Like last season, we didn't get to see the Anthony Richardson experience, but we did get to prove that Shane Steichen, is that his name? Shane Steichen. That sounds off. But it... Is it Shane Steichen? It is Shane Steichen, okay. But we did get to see that Shane Steichen was a good NFL coach. He seemed to bring a lot of the concepts that he had in Philadelphia. The tush push, some of the running concepts that he had. And just like overall, he worked and he built basically Jalen Hurts up as a QB. And now he's getting to do the same thing with Anthony Richardson, a guy that I think had better. He wasn't overall like better at every single thing versus Jalen Hurts. But I think in most things, he was probably better than Jalen. I mean, draft capital shows as much, right? And I think he probably, in terms of like, he didn't get to start as many games as Jalen did back in college, so he had less experience, he was greener. But I think the attributes that he had and the athleticism that he had farly outweighed what Jalen Hurts brought to the table. So I think the starting point for both guys, Richardson got a much farther starting point to work from. And I think Steichen... He played two games. I'm talking about in college. Like, I think
the
attributes that he had in college, what he showed in college, even though he played less games than Jalen Hurts. But I think the highs were super, super, super high, higher than Jalen's. The lows were just atrocious. But you focus on that, on the highs when you're drafting a guy and you're drafting a prospect based on the belief that you can enhance the good things that you saw. You don't really focus on the negative all too much with this sort of player.
I look at what I projected and I think, like, okay, am I putting too much faith in a guy who played two games last year? And then I realized that, like, I have them beating losing teams. And then I'm like, well, then who do I don't know. I don't see a way how I can, like, amend this to give them an extra loss so that I can make the division all 9-8.
Like, I could on my end, but then I can also see.
They have a few tough games, but then you also see, like, they play the Titans twice. They play the Broncos. They play the fucking New York Giants. They play the Vikings, who I think is going to be a dumpster fire. They play Miami on the road. Like, they play the Bears in one of Caleb's first three fucking NFL games. Like,
I just want to say that I just realized this. I don't know how this ended up being this way. But I have them going 2-4 inside of the division. And spoiler alert, they do not beat the Titans. So
I have them going 3-3. Yeah.
I do not have them beating the Titans, and I still have them with 10 wins.
So that's the thing. Like, we gave them fucking losses, and they still got to 10.
Yeah.
But
then I also gave them wins versus good teams, for example, versus the Lions.
But I don't.
Versus. But, like, looking at it, it's not wild.
Like,
and I gave the Patriots the win. So it's like, I gave them three losses versus teams that I think will have worse than six.
So, like, I could see them winning, like, 11, 12 games, but I can also say it's not because they're fucking good. It's because the schedule looks so bad. It looks so bad. Dude,
I mean, like, you get the schedule that you get overall.
You,
like,
get the
there
schedule
were
that you earned for having a quarterback who played two games last year.
I mean, they still didn't finish less in the division. They were in the playoff race for all the entirety of the season. Let's keep that in mind. Like, with Gardner Minshew, they were in the playoff race. Now they added, to me, the best edge.
They
have
so much faith that they gave them a bunch of shit teams to play.
I mean, like, the way that
the
schedule.
New York Giants, dude. Like, what do you want me to say? They rolled the fucking New York Giants. Like, okay.
Is that a roll, though? Don't they just, like, face
the entire. They don't play anyone in the NFC East!
Yeah, they are facing teams. Like, slot as they finished. So the Giants finished third in their division. They get to face the third team that faced in the AFC South.
Oh my god.
It's not really a role. It is what it is. Let's put it at that. Like, it's not their fault that they're finished third. They were in the playoff race. If I'm not mistaken, they were like a win behind. One more win, because I remember there was like a 2 or 3 game stretch between the Texans, the Jags, and the Colts, in which all of them were, like, swapping places for the team that won the division. So it's not like they were atrocious. They were a solid team, and now they added a better QB than what they had last season. And they added the top edge of this past class. And I think this team sort of has some momentum to it. They have some juice. They seem to be one of those teams that is... It's just gonna shine, man. Like, the coach is right. The defense has been playing well last season. They added good pieces to it. Their star QB is back. The wide receivers, like, last season it was Michael Pittman, then a bunch of young guys. Josh Downs takes another step forward. They added Adonai Mitchell, which I do not love, but, I mean, he's another weapon that can play with Anthony Richardson. Then you get, like, Jelani Woods. Now he's back. Last season he missed the entirety of the season, so that's another tight end option for their tight end group that they sort of mix and match as they please. Between Jelani Woods, between Granson, and there was another guy. I believe they drafted one guy this season, and then there's still another guy in the team. So they have like 3 to 4 tight ends that they can use at any given time. Jonathan Taylor is still around. So I think this team really has a lot of pieces that can make it go boom. And although I'm giving them 10-7, like, I'm giving them losses to the Titans. Like, if I flip the Titans, if I flip the Patriots, if I flip the other Titans game, out of nowhere, they are 13-4. They are one game behind the Chiefs. Like, this can go wild. Like, this can be one of those teams that no one is really expecting to just go off.
Don't you dare sit here and pretend like they earned this shit. They have a soft-ass schedule, and, like, they have to win games. Here's the games they have to win to compete with the Chiefs. They have to beat Green Bay in Green Bay Week 2. They have to beat the Texans and the Jaguars in their division. They have to beat Miami in Indianapolis. They have to beat the Bills in Indianapolis. They have to beat the Lions in Indianapolis. Like, what? What?
Let me just tell you this. And this isn't complete yet because I believe I'm missing part of the NFC schedule. So some of this can be, like, it can change because I'm going to talk about the strength of victory and strength of schedule. Since the NFC part of the schedule isn't completed yet, it can change the numbers a bit. But right now I have the Chiefs with a strength of victory of 0.477. So the higher the number, the better the victory. The Colts have a 0.459. So it's not at all that different. And the stretch of schedule for the Colts for me right now is 0.456. For the Chiefs is 0.473. So the difference isn't asinine in my projections of what the Chiefs are facing and what the Colts are facing. I'm not saying that the Colts have an incredibly strong schedule. I'm saying that the Chiefs do not have the strongest of schedules either right now. And let's not forget, like, every single team, there is one team that looks great because they have a very weak schedule. And I mean, those wins count just as much as the wins that you get when you're facing good teams. Like, it's all the same here. Wins are wins. You get to the playoffs with them. I remember the Falcons, for example, a couple of years ago, really had a great season. I'm not sure I think it was after the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. They had another season in which, like, their strength of schedule was super piss poor low. Then they had a pretty solid season and they came back to the ground. I don't expect that to happen with the Colts. I think they are a team to keep an eye on.
I think they have a shit owner, they're a shit organization, and they just lucked into it.
By the way,
quarterback who played 2 games last year.
By the way, and since we do need to keep this somewhat of a betting show as well, so we can get them sponsors, huh?
Brought to you by DraftKings.
We need it to be brought to you by DraftKings. I'm looking right now at the futures. Where do I have the futures? I had it open here somewhere.
Oh, no. Don't you dare. This is going to be future the last bets. Thing you say, isn't it? This is still going to be the last fucking thing you say.
Yeah. Go ahead. For sure. That's going to end the show. So, guys, like, after I say this, go follow the Twitter, No Reserves Radio. Leave like, leave subscribe, turn on the auto downloads, because Angelo can end the show at any time now. But I'm just going to give you some odds for the AFC and who wins each division. So right now, this is... Okay, now we want the American Conference because this is in Portuguese. God damn it. Okay, so right now, if you're following us here, just going to give you for every single division, I leave this out for the end. We have the Jets winning the division. The odds on that right now, crap, I need to change this up. It's plus 191 for the Jets to win. They are the second favorite to win the division. The Bills are the favorite currently, but plus 191.
Absolutely. For,
it is, right?
That's more for Josh Allen than I could ever have.
For sure. Like, that's a wild one. For the North, the AFC North, Baltimore Ravens are the favorite, but they are still plus money. So it's plus 134 for the Baltimore Ravens right now to win the division. I mean, the West, you can just sort of ignore. I'm not going to even bother translating this to U.S. odds.
If the Chiefs don't win, that'll be the most shock. I will be talking about that for weeks. If the Chiefs don't win the division, that would be the best bet anyone's ever made all year, and we'll be talking about it for weeks.
I mean, just to give you a sense, it's minus 275 for the Chiefs to win the division. Chargers. So, no, for the
second team.
The second team is the Chargers. 4 points, plus 350. Nice. I'm seeing this in Portuguese and and European odds, and I have to translate them to U.S. odds. The Raiders, like, God forbid an injury happens to the Chiefs, but the Raiders are plus 1,200. Yeah, plus 1,200 to win the division. And now, the South. So if you're looking for betting advice, this is what I would do right now. You ready? You go to your favorite sports book. DraftKings, that is. Of course. Of course it's DraftKings. You go to the DraftKings sports book. And this is what you do. You open it up. You go to futures. You look at the AFC South division winners. You take a mortgage on the house. And then you go.
Oh my God, don't you dare. No, don't do this. Don't do anything, Alex.
And then you put it all on red. No, my bad. You put it all on the Indianapolis Colts winning the division at plus 355. Someone joined. One left. I don't know. I didn't see it, but Craig is still here, so...